I want to just read a very beautiful poem which I always like to think about on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance and disappearance day. He wrote a poem called Saragrahi Vaishnava in 1871. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in 1838. He was named Kedarnath, belonged to the Datta family. The Purushottama Datta is the original personality. From him descended a whole range of generations, nearly 21 generations, up to Kedarnath Datta's father. Kedarnath Datta's father, a very, very pious, wonderful man, especially his grandfather, predicted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you will become a great Vaishnava. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about his father saying that he was a very handsome looking man. There was nobody looking like him so good. His father was a very handsome looking person. And he writes about his mother as being a very pious, wonderful Vaishnavi. And sometime in his life, when just before his grandfather passed away, and this grandfather called for him and said, please come. So he went with his wife and mother to meet grandfather very far away in Orissa. And he said, I'm going to die, so I want to see my grandson. He asked only for the grandson. And he went all the way and he saw that his grandfather was sitting on the bed on top of a bolster waiting, and he looked pretty healthy. So he called him close and told him, don't spend all your time dilly-dallying here and doing this and that. Whatever you have lived till now for 27 years, know the substance and you will become a very wonderful Vaishnava. And then immediately he passed away. Thak, he passed away. Just waiting for him. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recollects in his whole life history about his grandfather. He was a very, very precocious child. You know, precocious child means more than normal intelligence. He wrote his first poem when he was few years old. When he was 3-4 years old, he was waiting for his father. He writes in his diary, remembering that somebody told him this about him. When he was waiting for his father to come, his mother was keeping him, and then she gave him to the nurse. He recollects that my mother was born in a very, very big rich family. So she didn't find it so easy to spend the labor looking after me. So she called a nurse. So the nurse only used to take feed, means another, you know, you have in the house somebody assistant, was to feed her, live with him, take him to the school, bring him food in the afternoon and all that. So that nurse, when she was holding, when he was very young, he broke into a poetry when he saw the crow. He said in Bengali a poetry, oh crow, crow, don't go away, please wait, my father is coming very soon. He wrote Bengali poem, spontaneously spoke it, and the crow immediately shifted position and they said, ah, your father is coming. And he came. So he was a very, very, very different child from the beginning. He had two brothers, one elder brother and another younger brother. And in one year when he was 7 years old, he lost both the brothers in the same year, his elder brother and the younger brother. Then his mother's sister died and uncle also died in the same year. So it set him thinking a lot. What life is about. And he started writing at a very young age. He was taught by a French English teacher who liked him. He writes that, I was born, but I was born not looking very good. I was ugly. He writes, I was not very beautiful looking. But he writes about his father that he was very handsome. Writes about himself that I was looking ugly when I was born. But my mother said, no, but he will live a very long time and make useful contribution. He is writing himself all these things. in his own autobiography. So he was a very special person. When he was 27 years old, he got married when he was 12 years old to a girl who was 5 years old. His mother got him married when he was 12 years old to a girl who was 5 years old. This is how life was those days. 5 years old girl. I mean, I don't even have somebody so young here. 5 years old girl got married. I'm just quickly recollecting something. So he got married then and he became very responsible from then onwards. He was studying then. And then he went to study more and he became a very good student. He used to write poetry and the Britishers would appreciate it. What he wrote was appreciated by even the British. His English was so good and he delved deeply into all the English history, about religions, about everything. He got exposed a lot during the British times to English literature and all that type of thing very much. He was very profoundly literate. And then it is mentioned that somewhere he took a job. He took a government job. By the time he was 27 years old, he occupied a deputy magistrate post, having the power of a deputy magistrate and a deputy collector in the British government, when he was 27 years old only. Very, very quickly he achieved success in his life, material success. And then he became promoted and he became magistrate. I heard that there were only 3 magistrates in the whole of India. At least in Bengal, I'm sorry. But 2 of them were Britishers and 1 was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was so good in his job and everything that he would do. Very educated, very literate person. But all the time, he was more interested in literature, study and all these things. Around the time when he got posted for his job somewhere, he heard about Lord Chaitanya from another co-boss of his, that there was somebody called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He heard about him then. And then when he spoke about Chaitanya and all that, he became very interested. And he went around looking for a book to read about Chaitanya. Then he heard about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then he sent word everywhere for Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was not even one copy available anywhere. There was no Chaitanya Charitamrita available. So he searched for it for a long time. I think nearly 9 years afterwards he got a copy. That's when he read once. And then he read again twice. And he became extremely interested in the philosophy as propounded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became actually a devotee in his heart, thinking about Krishna. Then he started speaking. All this time he was not even initiated. He's not initiated yet. He's not having any connection with anybody. In his house, in his parental house, they were all Devi worshippers. He recollects in his grandfather's house there was Jagadhatri Puja. And with great pomp it was celebrated. He was very rich. All sorts of people were at home. Until 3 o'clock in the night they were singing poetries, dancing and eating and everything. But he came to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and everything changed. Then he started reading and writing a lot. And he was going through different jobs. Before he took this government jobs, he was a school teacher in several places. He was an ordinary school teacher. His salary was 15 rupees a month. And he says he could not meet the expenses when he was his first job as a school teacher. Then gradually he rose up to get 150 rupees a month and then he became very well situated as a magistrate and he was very well known, highly acclaimed person, distinguished person, known for his character, for his learning, for his behavior and everything. His first wife died and then the child that he had didn't have a mother. His mother started looking after, And she said, I am not able to do everything necessary, you must get married. He got married to another, he got married to another girl who was a very wonderful girl. And from her, he got several other children. He had a very big family. I heard that he had 14 children. Very big family. Out of that, one of them was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All his four children took sannyas. All his four male members took sannyas out of that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is the training he gave them. Complete Krishna consciousness training. This way, he became very accomplished and he started speaking and people would come to hear him speak. He would speak in English, he would speak in Bengali. And he became a very respectable person. He revived Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Vaishnavism. It was extremely difficult because everybody was thinking Vaishnavas were beggars, low class people at that time. And by reading and getting inspired, he again revived Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he was sophisticated, very well educated, and extremely good in speaking in English and talking to people. And in this way people became impressed and he introduced Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Once he was speaking, he was a magistrate and he was asked to take charge of the Puri temple by the government, by the Britishers. And while he was explaining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stay and his leela in Puri, in the Bhakti Mandap, you know that Bhakti Mandap place, he was explaining, the king came inside once. The king of Puri, he came inside and he created a disturbance all of a sudden with his big entourage. And everybody got disturbed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate. He immediately turned around and told the king, you may hold the position of kingship, but you have no right to disturb the discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead going on in the Bhakti Mandap in front of Jagannath. He told him this publicly. And the king, in front of everybody, excused himself. I'm very sorry. He excused himself and bowed down to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and left. And he continued his lecture. So much was his boldness and his purity. So, I just want to read this very beautiful composition. He was so good in his writing. He would write so much full of feeling. And he was so good with using language, with using very simple words and expressing himself. So good he was. Anybody reads Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books become very thrilled. And there was one disciple of Prabhupada who, I must say this now because I have told you this during, who came to Prabhupada and told him that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my favorite author. And Prabhupada told him, he is your second best author. After all this I am saying, after hearing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what a prolific writer, author, great person and educator and learner, everything he was. Prabhupada told his disciple, no, I am your best author. You must understand, all these great acharyas, they have a very distinct role to play. And they played that role completely depending on Krishna. Very different. Very different. And when he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is your second best author, he means it. He means, I know Bhaktivinoda Thakur better than you. That's what he means. Read my books first. So this is a beautiful verse. Saragrahi Vaishnava. Saragrahi means one who knows, takes the essence. Alas, for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their heart forever employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their heart's embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Was man intended to be a brute in work and heart? Should man, the Lord of all around, from common sense depart? Man's glory is in common sense, dictating us the grace that man is made to live in love, the beauteous heaven's embrace. The flesh is not our own, alas, the mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again. Why then this childish play in that which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose ablown? Our life is but a rosy hue to go ere long to naught. The soul alone would last forever with good or evil fraught. How deep the thought of times to be, how grave the aspect looks, and wrapped in awe become, oh, I, when reading nature's books. Man's life to him a problem dark, a screen both left and right. No soul hath come to tell us what exists beyond our sight. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is left. Man, man, thou art immortal soul, thee death can never melt. For thee thy sire on high has kept a store of bliss above. To end of time thou art, O his, who wants but purest love. O love, thy power and spell benign, now melt my soul to God. How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? Enjoyment, sorrow, but what but lots, to which the flesh is heir, the soul that sleeps alone concludes in them it hath a share. And then, my friends, no more joy, nor weep for all below. The women, wine, and flesh of beasts no love on thee bestow. But shine to love thy brother man, and give thyself to God. And God doth know your wages fair. This fact is true and broad. Forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all. But act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. But tell me not in reasoning cold, the soul is made alone by earth's mechanic lifeless rules, and to destruction prone. My God, who gave us life and all, alone the soul can kill, or give it all the joys above his promise to fulfill. So push on thy onward march, O soul, against an evil deed that stands with soldiers' hate and lust, a hero be indeed. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down, O stand heroic man. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead, lead me on to Vrindavan, and spirit's power declare. There rest my soul from matter free, upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. Shibhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya Ki. So what we can learn, you can read more from this book, Seventh Goswami. What we can learn and reflect and pray, we can offer our praise to great Vaishnavas and they respond. Srila Prabhupada's appearance was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. He said, soon a great personality will come and unrestrictedly carry the message all over the world. We use the word, he will travel unrestrictedly all over the world. No ship nor heart attack nor money could stop that person from preaching. Unrestrictedly he traveled and he preached. Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted about Srila Prabhupada that he will come and do this. And true to that, Srila Prabhupada He very respectfully spoke about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a very great empowered personality, is preaching all over the world, even today, through his followers. That's all he writes. Through his followers, very humbly. So, all great personalities that we have very great fortune of associating with, we can actually relate with them. When Prabhupada was in the Radha Damodar temple, he personally met with Rupa Goswami. And in America, in the early stages, when they asked him this, he mentioned, that is an open secret. And then he changed the topic. He didn't want to talk about it. But if you go today to Radha Damodar temple, you'll see written there by Prabhupada that all of them, all the acharyas used to meet here. All the Goswamis and everybody would meet here and discuss how to preach Krishna consciousness and discuss Krishna Katha. And he writes there, even now they are here and you can relate with them and pray to them and get their mercy. So, Vaishnavas, those who are completely absorbed in Krishna, there is no question of birth and death for them. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that famous verse, he reasons ill who reasons that Vaishnavas die. A beautiful verse, I forget the other portions of it. Because while living, they spread the holy name around. So we get the opportunity today, a very great personality, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he revived Lord Chaitanya's teachings. After Lord Chaitanya and all that happened with all the Sahajiyas, the British rule, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur who revived Gaudi Vaishnavism. He found out Lord Chaitanya's place. Lord Chaitanya came in a dream. He decided to transfer himself and go to Vrindavan, retire, take Babaji, read and chant and be alone. Lord Chaitanya came in his dream and told him, what about many things you have to do in Navadvip? When will you do that? He came and told him in the dream. And he writes that, I became disappointed that I cannot go to Vrindavan, I have to stay back. He writes that he was a little disappointed, but he stayed back and he associated with Jagadananda, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and he brought him on a basket. He was 90 plus years old. It seems his eyelids have to be lifted in order for him to see, otherwise it will fall down by itself. He was so old. He brought him in a basket, bent double, to find out whether this is the Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Because the local Muslims and all said, don't go there. There is a big snake mound and there are all sorts of things there. Sounds come out, everything. So he went there. And Jagannath Baba Maharaj leaped out of his basket and started Haribol Gaura Gaura dancing. This is the place, this is the place. And then he knew. And he established a temple there. And it seems he went from door to door and asked, can you give 1 rupee for building the temple? He collected money and built the temple and inaugurated the place which you go to now, birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, that place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's personal contribution. In this way, he also hounded all the false godmen. This very famous story here about Vishakishen, who claimed to be God and had affairs with women and all that, he arrested him. He arrested him and Vishakishen said, with my magic and my tantra, I will make you affected. And everybody was afraid of doing anything to him. So he said, I'll finish you. And he attacked with his magical powers Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. His son became very, very sick. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not give up. He just read Bhagavat, asked his son to take Charanamrit, and he continued him. And then in the prison house, when they were taking him to court, the Bhishakishen, one man from somewhere suddenly appeared and took hold of his hair and cut it with the big scissors. And he immediately fell down. All his powers, his mystical powers and all were kept in his hair, it seems. And he came to know about it. And he was one of those aggrieved people who wanted to hit him. And he wanted to support Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he climbed inside somewhere, bought a big scissors and cut off his hair. When they were taking him to the court, he had big hair. And as soon as the hair was cut, he fell down, completely became shriveled and weak. All this mantra, tantra, voodoo stuff he was doing. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur exposed him, got him this thing, and finally he became a weakling. And everybody came to know that he is a bogus man. He established Krishna consciousness like that. So these are great persons. They fought very boldly, keeping Krishna in the front and depending on Krishna. They taught us how to depend on Krishna and live life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur faced so many difficulties in life right from when he was very young. He writes that he remembers so many things from his life. He is writing that, I remember that the nurse who carried me when I was 3 years old, she carried me on the staircase getting down from the hospital because I was sick, and I bit my tongue, and a big gash was on my tongue, and even today I have that mark. He writes this. He remembers so many things from his life. He writes everything. A very sharp person, very intelligent and very keen and educated very wonderfully. He read so many works of so many people, all English literature like nothing. Finally narrowed down on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya and explained the Bhagavad so wonderfully. He sent in 1861 Chaitanya, his life and precepts. He sent it to the McGill University in Canada. He was the first person to distribute books in the Western world. He wrote a book, Lord Chaitanya, Life and Precepts. And they found that book in Canada, Prabhupada's disciples, in the university. That same book. Gopal Krishna Maharaj was telling me. He was in Canada. They found that same book and brought it and showed it to Prabhupada. So these are amazing histories. When I read some of these things, I'm always transported to a different time. How life would have been at that time. And at that time, if you place these teachings, Britishers were ruling. You know, Britishers came in 1857, the Battle of Plassey, fought in Bengal. At that time, Robert Clive and all of them fought. That's how they came in. East India Company, they fought. And then they took over from that onwards. Through Bengal, they took over. During that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born in 1838. From that time onwards, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been fully watching a completely different generation of people. Ruled by the British, before that Muslims, then Sahajiyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. 1896 was Lord Chaitanya's, I'm not sorry, 18, what is it? Which year Lord Chaitanya appeared? 1486, I'm sorry. 1486. To be celebrated 500 years is 1986. So you can imagine it was 400 years and all Sahajiyas are practicing things and completely destroyed Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Britishers were ruling, and in that situation Bhaktivinoda Thakur arose, planted by Krishna. He, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Prabhupada, leading the way to Prabhupada, taking it all over the world. And we are also part of that history, sitting here and hearing this while the rain is pouring on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. You must think what you can do for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to help them spread the mission of Krishna all over the world and have everybody chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books and become Krishna devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that this will happen. And there will be Russians, Europeans, everybody dancing side by side, Jai Sachinandana in Navadvip. And he had a vision of the whole temple, that fantastic Adbhut Mandir. He had a vision from across the Jalangi and he saw it. So these are great personalities. They predicted the future and they were instruments of Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness. So we offer our prayers sincerely to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lotus feet and beg of him that we may also be empowered instruments in his mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay ki, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Abhirbhav Titi ki, Netai Gaur Premanande.